Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
I'm so glad to be a part of a church where youth are not only sitting in it and taking part of it by just being here, but they actually get to be part of the service, part of the church, as equals with the body. And it's just been such an honor over the last like 5 years to be here on staff working with our youth leaders and with our teens and helping them follow Jesus and taking them on awesome trips and all kinds of chaos, breaking TVs and things like that. So we're going to get into God's Word, and we're in a series right now called How to Ruin a Community. And last week, Pastor Evan brought us through the first one, and it was all about gossip and how gossip is one of these things that will ruin community, and how, as followers of Jesus, we got to be on guard against that. And so we're continuing this series, How to Ruin a Community. It's not like we want you to know how to do it so that you can go do it. It's so that you know what not to do so that you don't do it and you stop doing it if you're doing it. Oh, yeah, okay. Whew. So, today we're going to talk about generations and what it means to be a church that has multiple generations in it, and how, as a church with multiple generations, how do we unite? How do we work together? How do we be a church that serves our community together on the same mission? And so here's how we're going to get started. We're going to just kind of go through all the different generations that may be represented here today. So, by a quick show of hands, who in the room was born in 1945 or earlier? You're over the age of 80. All right, we have a couple. Awesome. Let's give them a hand. So, you would be called the builders. You built civilization, or that's too much. That's too far, isn't it? You helped build some of the society that we have now and help build it up, and sometimes you were called the greatest generation because of all the industry that you produced in such a short amount of time. Things like the World Wars and the Depression era would have been a big impact for you when you were kids or teens or even in your early adulthood. This was a big part of your life. And so that has shaped you into who you are today. The next one we have is the baby boomer. So anyone born between 1945 and 1965, so 60 to 80 years old. Put a hand up if you are in that one. Okay, quite a few more. Let's give them all a round of applause. Yeah. And so you were the children of the builders, and you were called baby boomers because after the war, there was a great uptick in the birth rate because so many people died, and we needed to replace a great deal of people, and so there was lots of babies being born that time. And things like the Cold War and maybe the Civil Rights Movement and Vietnam and different things going on at that time would have been happening, and maybe that had shaped some of your cultural identity and how you function and how you value things and things like that. The next one we have is the Gen Xers, also known as sometimes the Lost Generation. So if you are born between 1965 and 1985, you're a 40 to 60-year-old, by a show of hands, who are you? All right. Let's give them a round of applause. And I want to highlight it because the reason they were called the Lost Generation is because during that period of time, there was a great decline in church, and the Gen Xers were kind of going through some sort of rebellious phase of like, okay, we're going against authority, we're going against the church, and we're kind of figuring out our own path and this and that. And they're still here. And God has been calling some of them back to the church over the years, and I think that is really awesome. You would have had things like the best action movies ever made during your childhood and adolescence, right? We got some diehard fans in the room. Yeah. You would have had the hippies and like the flower child stuff going on. That may have shaped part of how you view of the world and your values and things like that. And then after you came the millennials. So anyone born 1985 to 2000. So here I am. I'm right here. Any others? All right, my people. Yeah. Let's give us a round of applause. All right. So we're between the ages of like 25 to 40. Things like the digital revolution would have helped shape us because like the internet was starting to become a thing, computers. 9/11 was a big deal during that time. We had like cartoons like Pokemon and we had Harry Potter and all these different media things shaping us and all that good stuff. Any fans of that stuff? Harry Potter? No? Oh, a few. Yay. Round of applause for Harry Potter. No. All right. After the millennials, we have what's called Gen Z. Anyone born after 2000 up until 2015? So you are between 10 and 25 years old. Who are you? Yeah, and it'd be like all of our youth, basically. Yeah, so all your hands should be up. Awesome. You guys are sometimes known as the iPad generation because when you were little, the iPads were getting rolled out, and then you started seeing them in restaurants and kids glued to them, and everyone doesn't like that now, and there's been all kinds of science and, oh, you shouldn't be doing that, and screen time is a bad thing, apparently. Social media was kind of bursting. It kind of did start with millennials a bit, but it started to really take shape with the Gen Zers with Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat and Instagram and TikTok and blah, 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 right? You like that stuff? You guys don't like that stuff. They like that stuff, right? Still, sort of? I don't know. And then after them would be what is now called Gen Alpha. And they would be anyone born 2015 and to present day. And so a lot of them would be downstairs right now. There might be some in the room. Is there any in the room? There's probably some babies in here. Yeah, hold the babies up high, Lion King style. Here we go. Nice. All right. So those are our generations. We're all in the same room. We're all represented here. We're all in the same room. We're all worshiping the same God. And that is a picture of what God wants and has designed. Throughout Scripture, we have different verses that talk about the importance of preserving our generations. And so in Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 to 8, this is the story of Abraham. God says to Abraham, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abraham fell face down and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram, your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you and kings will come of you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give you as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. And there's this idea in this covenant that this covenant is not just for Abraham and him alone. It is for his descendants and the generations after him. That this is something that is to continue on generation after generation, that it is passed down. God doesn't want the next generation to miss out on what he has because he says, I will be their God, meaning he wants that same relationship with Abraham's descendants as he wants with Abraham himself. This is a covenant that extends not just to the Jewish people, but it extends to us, the church, because of what happened later in the New Testament as the Gentiles were brought in and the church was established by Christ. This covenant extends generation after generation. In Deuteronomy, or sorry, let me go to Exodus 20:12 first. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, it says that you are to honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. A scripture that basically tells us that for us to preserve generations, we are to honor our father and mother. So kids in the room, whether you're in your teens or 20s or 30s, if you've got parents still living, you are to honor them. In Leviticus 19, verse 32, it tells us that we are to rise in the presence of the aged to show respect for the elderly and revere your God, for I am the Lord. And so, for those of you who are elders, we are to respect you as part of this maintaining and preserving generations. We are to respect our elders. Amen? I thought I would get one immediately, but maybe need more coffee first. We are to respect our elders. Respect me. I'm older than you. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 to 8, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. There's a command here that as parents, as grandparents, we are to build up and raise up that next generation by impressing the word of God upon them, that they would be instructed in God's ways and in the gospel. Amen? This is a calling that is upon us as parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, aunts, uncles, whoever. We are to be lifting up the next generation. And if you are doubtful of that, it says in Matthew chapter 19, verse 14, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And when he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Jesus wants us to bring our children to him so that he can be their Lord and Savior. We are their parents. We have roles and responsibilities, but we are not their God. We are not their Savior. Jesus alone is, amen? In Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, this is Paul instructing. He says, "You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to too much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because you have nothing bad to say about us." There's an instruction here that is exactly what we're looking at when it comes to generations, that those of you who are older men should be looking at the younger men and going, how can I add value to their life? How can I mentor them? How can I raise them up? How can I help them maintain their marriage? Help them maintain their household? Help them to be successful in all these different things. Older women, you have the same calling on your life to raise up the young women in our church, that they would be successful in their lives, that they would be healthy, and that they would be holy and pure, and all these different things that Paul is talking about here. There is this calling upon the older generation to raise up the next, to keep the blessings going. And then lastly, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity." And so, guys, like, I want to direct this one to you because you have a place in this church. You belong here. You have a calling and a purpose here. Do not let anyone here look down upon you because of your age. Instead, set an example to them by your faith, by your love. As we lead songs in worship, we are not just doing a spectacle and having fun. We are leading a church in worship, so that we can lead by our own example what it looks like to worship the living God. Amen? Teens and youth have a purpose and role in the church. older generations are called to mentor and train the next. We're all called to honor our father and mother, to honor our elders, to let the generational blessing from Abraham continue flowing, to bring our children to Jesus and all these different things. We are meant to pass on the blessing of God to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation, and then they are meant to return it back to the previous generation. That it's not just one way down, it's not one way up, it's a two-way street. And when we look at all these scriptures and kind of boil it all together, I think this is what we're trying to say today. Each generation is meant to be a blessing to the other. Each generation is meant to be a blessing to the other. The older bless the younger bless the older, and everyone in between. It goes in both directions. We are meant to be a blessing to the other. Do we agree with this? Okay. There are some problems that are in our culture that need to be addressed because of what we know from Scripture and what we're trying to say here. The problem is that sometimes there is generational sabotage. The community of the generations is harmed and hurt. We can call it ageism, where we discriminate someone based on their age. You're too old for that. You're too young for that. You're not qualified because of this and that and all this other thing. We can discriminate because of someone's age. We see abuse happen in both camps. We see child abuse. We see elder abuse in our culture. These things damage the community. We see examples in Scripture of the old mistreating the young. We learn of Sarah, who after handing off her maidservant Hagar to Abraham, she mistreats her. She's younger and she throws her out and says, "You're done. Like, I'm going to mistreat you." We see the example of Pharaoh and of Herod, who order the slaughter of babies, that they would be killed. We see that today with abortion. How many lives are slaughtered in the name of convenience? We see young mistreating the old in the other direction. We have this story of these teenagers who are mocking the prophet Elisha. And then some bears come out and eat them. We need some bears on Friday nights sometimes. If you have a pet bear at home, let me know. But we see this example where they are mocking the prophet Elisha, who is grieving, who is older, who is this elder, who is this man of God, and they are mocking him, and they are judged by God for it. We see this example as well with the prodigal son. The prodigal son demands his inheritance from his father before he's dead, and that was a shameful thing to do. What the prodigal son is saying is, "I wish you were dead, father. Give me my inheritance now. I can't wait you out any longer. I want to go live my life. I have no time for you." And we see that in our culture. We see young people disrespecting the elderly, disrespecting their parents. We see disrespect and criticism in all directions. We hear things like young people are lazy, old people are greedy. We hear expressions like "okay, boomer" or "dinosaur," or we hear it in the other way, "oh, kids these days," or "back in my day," or "in the good old days." And we hear people call each other snowflakes and all these different terms that are used to slander and attack and criticize and condemn the other generations. And what ends up happening is we end up divided from each other. We're separate in our own little camps and in our own little groups. We don't know how to have conversations with the older generation or with the younger generation. We feel like we can't connect. We feel like we can't unite. We feel awkward and tense and weird. And we get angry when stuff gets broken, or we get mad when we're told not to do something that we shouldn't be doing. We end up divided from each other, and the blessings don't flow. It's kind of like this. We identified some generations earlier, and so now I need some volunteers. So I need 5 volunteers, one from each of the generations that we listed. So I need a teen first. Let's get one. Yeah, Elise, let's go. Okay, let's get a, woo! Just take a spot back there. We need a millennial, not myself, someone else. Any millennials in the room? If you raised your hand, that means you're up here. Let's go, let's get one. I'm gonna call somebody. Who, Shane? Get up here. This is what happens when you don't dance with us. All right, let's get a Gen Xer. We got any Gen X? I'm gonna have to call some youth leaders up here if they don't do it. All right, Sandy. For real. All right, let's get a baby boomer. Jerry, let's go. All right, that's four. And is there anyone over the age of 80 brave enough to do this? Let's go, Angus. All right. All right. Just so that everyone can see what's going to happen. Okay, so I'm going to explain what's going to happen here. This is a game. This is a competition. We're going to find out which generation is the best. All right? Angus thinks it's him, right? Because they're the greatest generation, but I don't know. We'll see. You volunteered to represent your generation. Are you sure that was the right choice? All right, so we're going to find out which generation is the best, the smartest, the most athletic, the greatest, the most productive, the strongest, the rest of it. All right, here's how this is going to work. Underneath this table, there is a pile of puzzle pieces in a little pile in front of you. So Angus, yours is here. Jerry, yours here. Sandy, Shane, and Elise, okay? When I remove the blanket, it is a race to see who can complete their puzzle the fastest. Are you ready?
It's all good.
I'm in.
Knock yourself.
I'm going to get in your way, Angus. Sorry. 3, 2, 1, go! Where's the cheering and clapping? Now, I don't know if you can tell, but I think they figured it out that they didn't actually have their own puzzle to figure out. There's one puzzle up there. They all have a scramble of the pieces, and for the first 10 seconds or so, they thought they had to do it all themselves, and they were working on their own. But now, as you can see, they're working together. They're figuring it out. They're putting it together, maybe. I don't know. Hard to know when Shane's up here. Yeah, I want you to finish it. It's got to look presentable. Did anyone start a timer by any chance?
No.
Oh, we should have done that. It's a kid's puzzle, by the way. It says ages 2 to 12. I don't know what the combined age is up here, but we could do some math later. Yeah. Hey! Great job, guys.
I don't appreciate it.
All right, you can go have a seat. You can go have a seat. Thanks, everyone. All right. Now, that was just a little visual representation. Just to give you a picture, no pun intended, of what it looks like for generations to come together and work together and be united. We're not divided. We started out divided and they realized, no, that's not going to work. We don't accomplish the goal. We don't accomplish the task if we're working by ourselves with our own pieces. We need each other. You have something I don't have and I need to work with you. This is a picture of what it looks like to be a multi-generational church that is united on the mission of God. Amen? Each generation is meant to be a blessing to the other. They blessed each other right here. This is what we're called to do. This is what we're called to be like. And so, how do we apply this to our lives? Number one, you need to become a blessing person. You need to see other people as valuable. It's not just you. It's not looking down upon someone else because they're young or discriminating someone because they're old. Seeing the young and the old as valuable, as equal, as members of this church that we are together. Let the Holy Spirit transform you and cleanse you and rid you of any discrimination, criticism, anything negative that you are fostering or harboring towards another generation. Number two, we are to be a blessing to the other generations, and so here's some more specific ways to do it. Offer to watch someone's kids. Offer to clean someone's house. There's a book that I read with Clara at bedtime called Critters Who Care, and it's just like the Mercer Mayer books. I don't know if you know the little critter books. Anyways, there's a little story where there's this old bunny, and she's old and fragile, and her house is dilapidated, and all the kids feel really bad. And they go, Mom, Dad, can we go clean their house together? And we'll get the whole community involved. And they all show up, and they clean the house, and they fix it up, and it's beautiful again. The young looking after the old looking after the young. Volunteer in our kids or youth ministry. Be willing to visit nursing homes and shut-ins. Be willing to mentor someone who is younger than you. Repair the broken and fractured relationships you have with your parents or with your children, that your family would be reunited as well. Number three, we need to begin to see our church as a united body of all ages that come together to build the kingdom of God. We're working in partnership with each generation to fulfill the calling on our lives. We are not to be divided. We are to let the blessings flow in both directions. When we remove generational barriers and unite as one body, we become an unstoppable force for the kingdom of God. The healthiest and the churches that last the longest are not only just churches that have kids and youth in the church, but they are a multi-generational, united church on mission together that serve each other. When the generational blessings flow in both directions, the outcomes are richer and healthier. People in our community begin to notice something different about our church, and it will draw them in to say, there's something going on. There's no discrimination happening at that church. I'm an older person. Maybe I could fit in and not feel shamed. I'm a younger person. I could fit in and not feel ridiculed. Like, I could belong to something when my generation feels like it belongs. The bitterness and the resentment that we hold towards other generations starts to disappear. Our worship begins to intensify. Our love for one another deepens. We don't isolate ourselves into our own little groups. We all feel cared for and not neglected. Our parents feel supported. Our youth feel included. Our seniors feel honored and respected. And we all experience greater connection with one another and don't feel alone. Each generation is meant to be a blessing to the other.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.